Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, here's your sports update from a very, very high-paced Sabres practice here. If you haven't heard the news yesterday, defenseman Erik Karlsson was acquired by the San Jose Sharks from the Senators yesterday, along with forward prospect Francis Perron. In the trade, the Senators acquired forwards Chris Tierney and Rudolph Balcers, defenseman Dylan DeMello, and unsigned forward Joshua Norris, a first-round pick in the 2019 or 2020 draft, a second-round pick in 2019 draft, and two conditional picks. It sounds like a head scratcher, and it is, but there's a lot there. But Erik Karlsson traded to the San Jose Sharks. Center Tyler Seguin signed an 8-year deal worth $78.8 million with the Stars yesterday. That has an average annual value of $9.85 million. Seguin had 78 points, including an NHL career high 40 goals last season. Team captains are starting to be named around the NHL. John Tavares, Patrick Marleau, and Morgan Rielly were each named an alternate captain for the Leafs. Notice no Austin Matthews. Olive Rekman-Larsson was named captain for the Coyotes. And Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7 himself, has been named the captain for the Carolina Hurricanes, with last year's co-captains Justin Falk and Jordan Staal named alternate captains. Detroit Red Wings general manager Ken Holland officially announced this morning that Henrik Zetterberg's career is over due to a degenerative back issue. Zetterberg was unable to train this summer and was unable to practice during the final 2 months of the 2017-18 season. He didn't play very many games last year. It doesn't say how many games here. The Bills' home opener is this Sunday versus the Los Angeles Chargers at 1 p.m. Rookie quarterback Josh Allen will start this Sunday for the first regular season start in the NFL. You can catch the game on WGR 550 and on CBS. That's your sports update for today. I'm Andrew Peters, and back to the Instigators, where I'm joined. I know, I don't have my paper. I crumple it up or I throw it at the camera.
Hey, just a quick update to that goes along with that.
Ivan Lendl?
Sports update. Lendl. Yeah, let's tweet. Let's find it on Twitter. But no, Joe Ward has been granting a PTO invite to the Montreal Canadiens camp. So Joe Ward, who like has always been kind of a role guy and, you know, a depth guy. What was it? Washington, San Jose. Was he with? Is that it? Is it?
I think it was just Washington and San Jose.
I think it was just those two, right? But anyway, he's been given a PTO with the Montreal Canadiens, and we'll try to earn a spot on. You know what? If you're looking for a PTO, if you're looking for an inviting in camp, usually try to go to the teams that are going to be at the bottom of the standings.
Yep.
There's more opportunity for you to be able to be there. So I think that's what Joel Ward is trying to do. Go there. And Andrew Shaw has had some health issues over the last few years with the Canadiens, so yep. He's the same type of player. Maybe there's a spot for Joel Ward on that team.
37 years old, turning 38.
Yeah, but the guy is like a machine. What did he play last year?
He had 12 points last year. It doesn't look like a machine.
I'm not talking about his game is not to be like scoring points. His game is killing penalties and being physical. That's what he does.
I thought he was a goal scorer.
Joel Ward? No, absolutely not.
He had a couple good
years. He had 21, 19, 24.
Yeah, he had some good years.
I always thought of him as a...
That was when he was in Washington?
No, that was... Well...
And then he signed that big deal in San Jose. He signed a four-year deal for like $16 million or something.
That's right. But his first year in San Jose at 21, so he can put the puck in the net. But I'm not sure he's kind of like a third line right winger, can kill penalties, not overly physical, not overly dynamic, not overly fast, but does everything very well because he uses his brain. He's a very smart player.
And another quick update: a lot of goalies unsure about their start of the season. You got. Allen in St. Louis with back spasm.
Well, they say four to six weeks.
Maybe. So yeah, maybe missing the start of the season. Corey Schneider, New Jersey. Not sure if he'll be ready for the start of the season. I think it's he got a surgery in May. I don't know if it was hip, maybe, but I'm not sure if he'll be ready.
He's been battling some injuries for a little while.
And Corey Crawford, the news is this morning that Corey Crawford was on the ice in Chicago. He's been missing in action since last December.
Okay.
So dealing with post-concussion syndrome. So there's another guy that the Chicago Blackhawks absolutely need. They were in the playoff position in December, and when Corey Crawford went down, they completely, you know, got out of the way, and then Scott Foster was the biggest news in net for the Chicago Blackhawks in the last 4 months of the season. So,
all right, Instigators, live from the Harbor Center. Why? Because training camp is officially open. It opened yesterday, but, I mean, that's not hockey. That's physicals and fitness testing and all that stuff. They're on the ice today in a very, very, what I would say, very intense, high pace, high energy practice. They're getting bagged now. They got the nets pulled out. They're doing laps. And this is the one where you tell the boys, hey, boys, I'll lead this one. Someone set the pace. Hey, someone's a pace car out there. Who's the pace car?
Okposo is the pace car right now.
With Jack. Jack's about to just pass him on. Jack in a pass. I mean, you got to expect Jack to pull through here, right?
So when they do this,
Anytime we did this and I led the group, Lindy knew that it was a setup.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're with
but
Max,
you know what? You know
when
what
you're
they
with Max
do,
and Max is third.
Max was trying to blow everybody out of the water. The way that the football teams and the soccer teams, in high school, they do these is the last man has to race quickly to the front of the line, and then everybody goes at their own pace. So there's always somebody else leading. It's never, on to one person to lead the pack.
Look at Ristolainen.
Yeah, but this is showing off. This is like when
it's
you're
not
like
showing off. He's not even showing. He's doing half speed and he's.
This
he's
is Secretariat. Secretariat. You know, at the Belmont, winning by 25 length or whatever.
You know what?
He's
you
just
do
showing
what you
off.
Do. No, hey, it's called setting a standard, Marty. I don't know what you
no,
call
I,
it.
I like it. I,
oh,
you know what?
You like it.
No, I'm joking.
Look at how many guys are bent over. This has been a really tough practice. Look at these guys right now.
Yeah, this is not
they
easy.
Are bagged, and this is what Phil Housley and a lot of the veteran players talked about, that this is not going to be an easy training camp. They are going to put the work in, and
you know when you're the next group to go,
you want
to
know
the whistle goes
off is?
The whistle goes ending practice. You're so thankful. You're thankful that the whistle went. You're like the next group to go, and you're dying, and you're about to go for a skate. Then the coach goes, then practice is over, and
that's
you're like,
it.
Oh, thank God.
That's it. That was the best part when Lindy would yell, that's it. Stretch. Yeah. You're just kind of like, oh, thank God. Do you remember the first practice back at after the Olympic break at Buff State?
There's been so many bad practices.
06. Do you remember the first practice back? We were getting bagged, and everybody was so tired because we just had 13 days off. Brian Campbell was skating backwards.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, and the guys were losing their mind.
I chopped his legs so hard, I literally tried to end his season.
Because you're skating with 7 or 8 other guys,
he
right?
Was
and you're trying
us.
To keep each other like.
And then he
in
started
the
skating
group.
Backwards, and I took a swing at him.
I had the ability to play with Soupy in San Jose. I'll give you my take on Soupy.
I think as he was skating by, he's like, Lindy, look how fast I'm going.
Yeah,
Lindy!
That's exactly the way it was. Soupy,
Lindy, hey, Arnie, look at how fast I am.
Soupy had the opportunity to sit beside me when he came to San Jose. And if you remember how he taped his sticks, you remember the knob of a stick? It was meticulous. It took 20 minutes just to do his knob because it was all really fluffy with the type of tape that he put around it. And then he would only grab it before he went on the ice.
So it wouldn't be messed up at the
so
top.
So they wouldn't be messed. Yeah. Nobody touched his sticks. Well, you know what? I was getting a little sick and tired of watching him do that and his little redheaded popcorn hair coming around there. And I went into the room and I squeezed all his knobs after about 60 minutes of taping of a stick. I'm like, listen, let's figure things out here, bud.
And how did that go over? How did he play?
Oh, he was furious, and he wanted to know who it was because he was puffing his chest walking around the room. I said, I did it. And then he didn't say anything.
You're that guy, huh?
I was that guy.
Okay. Well, they're going to be flooding. Are they flooding or they're just – it looks like practice is over, and goalie coach Andrew Allen has got the big shovel out to clean around the crease so they can do some goalie work. So it looks like practice is winding down
There's an addition. Sorry, Marty. There's an addition we never talk about. Steve Smith.
Oh,
that happened when Riv was, I think, lying on the dock. So he never got a chance to comment on that. But
I got
you had Chris Height here, but you bring in Steve Smith too.
Yeah, I got to talk to him on Tuesday at the Sabres Foundation Golf Tournament, and very excited to be part of the staff. Like he is, you know, I think he lives in Chicago now, and his family are staying in Chicago because I think his youngest is having a senior year in high school. So, but he said, you know, we were talking about the way that the game changed from, you know, the 80s to now, and in the coaching, what does he like to do? Like he gets in the plane after a game and he gets his computer out and he starts looking at the shifts and breaking them down. And now he said with the hour flights, because Buffalo is such a tight travel schedule. Carolina was the same way when he was an assistant there, that, you know, he just likes to sit down with the players, and great addition. And hopefully we get to talk to him and get to have him on the show once or twice, because he was very interesting. Loved what he had to say.
Yeah, played a long time in the NHL, over 800 games. Has been coaching in the NHL. Calgary, Edmonton, Carolina, the last 4 years in Carolina, and before that it was 4 years in Edmonton.
Look at Carolina. They had Jacob Slavin, Noel Hanifin, Justin Falk. They've had great talent in Carolina that he's been able to shape and get going. And I think that's probably the main reason why a guy like Steve Smith is here in Buffalo right now, is because you look at Dahlin, Cooley, Ristolainen, and McCabe. Those are younger players that you want to be able to give the right tools.
Hell of a bank shot on that guy.
Don't even go there.
Well, of course he can go there. He won four cups. What do you mean?
That would have been five in a row.
He won 84-85. He played two games with the Oilers that year. I don't know if he would have gotten a cup. 85-86 they won. 86-87. 87-88, and then he won again in 90-91.
So he won.
He won four cups.
Well,
three and a half cups.
No, he's won four and a half.
No, they lost one of those. 87-88 wasn't Edmonton.
No, it was Calgary. 86, right, but they won 84, 85, 87, 88, 90. They
right,
won five.
He only played two games, though, year. So he was in Nova Scotia.
I get what you're saying,
the
but the team won five. He's won four and a half, because you said he played two games with them.
Yeah.
So he's got four rings. It's like he probably knows Craig Muni pretty well.
That is
from having played with him in the A-Days of the
Edmonton. He absolutely knows Craig Muni. I mean, for sure those guys know each other very, very well. they would have Boys on the Bus. Remember that documentary they did on the Oilers, Boys on the Bus?
No.
What? So great that the NHL Network has played it a dozen times in the last couple of years.
Like you've told me about that so many times.
If you
and I've yet to watch it,
go and YouTube it. You sit down and put it on your TV. I know you got a internet TV, Riv. Turn it on. Go to YouTube and turn on Boys on the Bus. It is like you got Gretzky and Anderson and Messier and all these guys sitting around a dinner table having some wine, talking about goose hunting. I mean, you got Glenn Anderson at the horse track. You got you see these guys from this legendary team back in the day in the locker room. I mean, it's unreal. We should ask him about that too. But anyway, there's a guy that doesn't get much praise, and you talk about the defense that that Carolina had, Marty, and how much impact he must have had on there.
No, obviously, Carolina was kind of a mess, and everybody probably knew that with the new owner that things were going to change with Bill Peters leaving, going to Calgary, and I think that was just a great hire by Jason Botterill and Phil Housley to get Smith here.
All right, I got to do a better job here. I got to do to the point. We got to get to the point presented by Jim Steakout. You guys have done an unbelievable job arguing as it is without forced topics. I'm going to give you some more topics. We're going to do a best of three today because we're running out of time here. But to the point presented by Jim Steakout. Who wants to go first here?
Well, ask the question and then we'll decide.
Will Erik Karlsson re-sign in San Jose? Riv, I guess we'll ask you that first because you played there.
I will say no. I believe that
good catch. Love it.
I just think that San Jose right now is up against the cap. They already have a defenseman on their roster that's making $8 million. They've got many guys that are high paid in Couturier, Pavelski, Hurdle, Evander Kane. There's a lot of guys making a lot of money. I just don't believe they have enough money in their cap right now to sign Erik Karlsson to that, you know,
time's
probably
up.
$11 million deal. Plus.
Time's up. Great points. Great points. I never thought about that.
Okay. I will trade
Marty,
this.
Marty, will Erik Karlsson re-sign with San Jose?
I will trade this because I will say I think that the San Jose Sharks will want to re-sign Erik Karlsson. Joe Thornton's coming off the books after this year at $5 million. Joe Pavelski will come off the books at $6 million. So I think that the San Jose Sharks will go away from a couple of Joes and probably go more into the Karlsson and build it that way. But if they don't sign him, it's not a bad thing because they didn't give anything for him, really. They can go, and if it doesn't work, trade him at the deadline and gather much more or some of those assets that they've already given away. So I think they will sign it, so I will say I would buy it. But if they don't, it's not that big of a deal. So just a simple trade.
Well, just because Riv sold it, into the point doesn't mean it's buy sell trade, boys.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Riv nailed it with no. Riv says no, and then he goes, "Ah, sell." Sorry, sell. I'm like, go with it.
So we're doing, that is awesome.
We're doing to the point presented by Jim Steakhouse. Riv ends up at the.
Hey, what do you do?
It was your birthday last night. I know you had a late night last night. There's no doubt about it.
What do you do at Jim Steakhouse?
You eat at Jim's.
Eat at Jim's.
So here, next topic. This is the best one for me, biggest topic. Why didn't Austin Matthews get a letter? Riv, not buy, sell, trade. Just tell me why he didn't get a letter, and you got about 30 seconds.
Because he doesn't deserve it, and he's not the leader of the hockey team.
What?
You'll get your time.
Okay. 10, 9, 8, 15,
7. 14.
I don't need to say any more. There's a reason why he wasn't picked. To not even have an A on his jersey. Because he is not the leader of the hockey team.
Do you like that?
Period. Absolutely. They do it right. Brendan Shanahan does it right there. And you know what? He knows what leadership is all about. He picked two guys in Patrick Marleau and John Tavares that were not... Patrick Marleau was a captain in the National Hockey League. He didn't wear a letter on his jersey last year. Last year it was Tyler Bozak and who was the other guy? Help me out here.
What?
That wore letters last year. Bozak and Komarov. Both those two guys are gone. They replaced them with two veteran guys, John Tavares and Patrick Marleau. Those guys are the leaders. Why do you have to give a letter to Austin Matthews? I'm not saying that Austin Matthews will not wear a letter or even the C at some point in his career. Just right now, he doesn't deserve the letter.
Okay, I let you go over the
time. Minute and a half answer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to let him go, though, because he was doing really well with it.
Okay.
What do you got, Marty? We're doing To the Point presented by Jim Steakout. No clock.
You know what?
Here's
what they did. They didn't give him an A. They gave Tavares, Marleau, and Morgan Rielly A's because they want to challenge Austin Matthews, and they want to see if he has leadership quality without a letter to see if he's captain material.
How about see how he responds
exactly,
to that.
Because if he responds the right way, the next letter that will be on his sweater will be a C. So you challenge him. You say, hey, I'm not putting an A on your jersey. I want to see if by yourself you can take a leadership role in this team. And if you do that, then we're putting a letter, and it's going to be a C.
A
and
letter.
That's the way it goes.
A letter, and this is the letter that he'll get, okay? It's an A. He will never be wearing the C because there's a guy named John Tavares that has $88 million
How
reasons
many?
Why.
$77 million
reasons why.
Okay.
He doesn't need to be the captain because John Tavares is a bona fide captain in the National Hockey League.
Yes, he is. And it doesn't make sense when you have a guy like Tavares, in my opinion, to just say if you don't need
it's
a letter. You don't need a letter to be a leader. No, but when you know you have a guaranteed captain, you slap the C on his chest. You don't worry about hurting feelings.
I mean, if John
and if
Tavares,
you don't have a captain, then you don't slap a C on a chest. You don't worry
Tavares,
about hurting
if
feelings.
If John Tavares was the captain and the captain and he's a great captain, they would have given him the C. They are testing Austin Matthews because he's going to enter his third year in the National Hockey League. It's been pretty easy for him in his life and in his hockey career. And he went to Switzerland, played well, made money, came back at 40. No, last year would have had 40 if he played the whole season. That's what's going on.
I understand what your thought, but what my thought is this. They know who the captain of the team is.
They would have given them a C.
Everybody knows who the captain of the team is. They want to give a little bit of time and not make that knee-jerk reaction and just put a C on John Tavares. They're going to allow John Tavares to gravitate and take over the room.
Hey, this or that. More questions. More questions would be aimed in which direction from the Toronto media? At Tavares being named captain and not Matthews, or Matthews being captain and not Tavares?
Doesn't matter. I don't care.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
You know what?
I think it does matter. I think it makes a big difference.
This to the points presented by Jim Stakeout.
Here's the thing. It is not going to affect John Tavares one way or the other.
It won't affect Matthews.
But
either.
Golden Boy there. We can't hurt his feelings. Let's not.
I agree
Austin
with that.
I
think it's about not hurting feelings.
You know what? Let's bet a little buff chicken on that one.
Toronto did it right.
All right. Next topic here. We're doing To the Point presented by Jim Stakeout. I'd say it's 1-1. So here we go. Best of three. Did the Stars pay Tyler Seguin too much? Marty, we'll start with you.
No. I mean, the market dictates what those type of players get. Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, you look at those young stars in the National Hockey League, they're going to get their money, and the Stars need Tyler Seguin, and they need him to be paid the amount they got. No, that's what you get. It's when you are a potential free agent, and when you look at the marketplace, you look at all the numbers, and you put yourself in between two guys, and you say, that's where I should be getting. And it's just if the team is willing to do it, and they had no other choice.
Did Dallas pay Tyler Seguin too much money?
Let me ask you one question. Is Tyler Seguin in the top 10 best players in the National Hockey League right now?
I have my list. I have to look.
He's
at
not
it,
in my top 10.
Okay.
I don't think he's top 10 for me, but.
I haven't done a top 20 from. I haven't done like 11 to 20, but. I'll say that I don't know. That
okay, so the reality is
there,
this.
He might.
Tyler Seguin right now with the deal that he just signed is the eighth highest paid player cap hit in the National Hockey League.
Yep.
At $9.85 million. Okay? Eighth. Is he the eighth best player in the National Hockey League?
Not even
I
far.
Believe not. That also, he is the fourth highest paid player this coming season. He has the fourth highest salary in the National Hockey League at $13.5 million. Should he be paid that much money?
Well, it depends. Well,
it's all the way
goal scoring. He's in the top five of goal scoring every year.
That's right.
You know, like
he's
a 40 goal guy. I think last year was his first time.
I think Seguin is an outstanding hockey player. I think he is a really, really high end hockey player. I don't put him in my top 10 in the National Hockey League, but I'll tell you right now, he'll be in my top 20. I think that. You know, when you have an elite player like this come up, you have to pay him. That's the reality of it. He came off a great season last year with 40 goals, 78 points. I think his contract is right where it should be with what he's done in the last 5 years. He's put up 84, 77, 73 points in 72 games, 72 and 78. Like, he's had a lot of success.
Marty, have you had a chance to answer yet?
Yeah, I did. And I said he's paid accordingly.
Okay. All right. Well, then we're all paid accordingly. That means we got to go to break. The Instigators live from training camp, which is at Harbor Center. The boys were on the ice. The first session that we saw, very high tempo, very physical, very demanding practice, which I think Phil Housley alluded to a lot and Jason Botchel as well in terms of competition and hard work. When we come back, hoping for maybe Patrick Berglund, but if not, I'll get these two guys going at it in some way right here on the Instigators WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, welcome back to the Instigators live from the Harbor Center, and I've got some goalies taking some shots. As I mentioned to you before, there was a. Am I overstating that? When I say high tempo, high pace, physical practice?
You're not overstating it, because that's really what it was. But the one thing that, if you go a quick scroll of Twitter right now, every organization is putting a tweet out there, coach want up-tempo practice, and he's barking order, and tempo seems really high. Because we haven't seen practices like this in not just 3-4 months. We haven't seen a practice like this in 8 months. Because by the time you get to November, December, you don't practice like this anymore. You just have your 25-minute, 30-minute skate, and you're just trying to save your energy because you play 30 games in 60 days. You're playing so many games, you don't get to practice like that anymore. So that's why the tempo seems higher, because every year we don't really see it.
I don't think I really saw Phil Housley yelling for more tempo. I think it was – I think the players just knew. And listen, I don't want to sit here and just stroke players, but I'm going to tell you, like, Jack looked like he was pumping his legs really hard. You saw him in the down low drills. Saw him in the battle drills, in the skating, in the back checking. I mean, you saw from what you would want to see from a fourth line guy and how he works in practice to hang on to his spot. That's how I felt that we were seeing Jack work today, was a different level of work. Like he wanted to be the hardest working. He wanted to be the best player on the ice. He wanted to make a statement.
No, absolutely.
Is that an overstatement too? I feel like you guys have been battling so much. I'm just trying to have a nice, gentle conversation here.
It's always
Rivs looks
nice.
Ready to go.
But it's always nice at this time of the year, Rivs, to be like so optimistic and enthusiastic about, you know, oh man, the tempo's so high. Look at Jack Eichel. Look at Skinner. Look at those guys. They are raising their level. Yes, they're raising their level. Yes, it looks great. Now, when you face 20 other guys from another organization that have raised their level and they look great
that's
in
right.
training camp, that's
right.
the testing right there.
Yep. And it's the small details that are going to start to separate good teams from bad teams at both ends of the ice. So, you know, from watching the first full practice with the first group, it was physical. It was high tempo. The guys worked hard. You could see them bent over. You know that things are tough in an NHL training camp when most of the guys are bent over after doing drills. They're fatigued. And
they've been working out and skating all summer for that.
They've been skating all summer and working out, running, sprinting, everything to be ready.
You guys know as well as I do, and it doesn't ever change. I don't care what era you're in. It doesn't matter how hard you train. That first day of training camp is always hard. It's always hard. I'm not saying you're exhausted and tired in the first three drills. I'm saying the overall day, the training, the practice, the work that they put, you can handle it. You get through it at high tempo, but it's not what you've been doing all summer.
First one's always the hardest, and the reason for that, guys get on the ice for the first time. They understand that it's a real training camp, and those emotions can grab maybe some of your energy when you start to kind of get into the swing of things. You know, there's the physical side, working hard, this and that, but there's also the emotional side of that also that's dragging some energy from these guys because it's the first day.
All right, so we're talking about Jack Eichel. I have a chair next to me and an open seat between Marty and I, and I'm going to repeat a joke. They call me DJ Repeaters anyway. interviewing Manti Te'o's girlfriend here.
No, I didn't like it the first time. I don't
Why?
Like it
what do you mean? So you had a fake girlfriend. Well, that's hilarious.
While we're just, you know, the first group come off the ice.
No, hold on.
So
we're waiting on hopefully Patrick Berger.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. He just came off the ice, so he's part of the first group. But some of the quotes are already come in
from the
players. And there's a great quote here from Jake McCabe talking about Jeff Skinner. He says he competes like a son of a you-know-what. Really, it's great to have him in the blue and gold now, so I don't have to be pissed off every time we go down to Carolina. That was John Vogel put that out on Twitter. But that is the change of culture that we're talking about. You acquired a player in Jeff Skinner that goes out on the ice for practice and training camp, and he competes like a 10 out of 10 every time he goes out there. So now Jeff Skinner's doing that. So you're one of the young guys. You're Victor Olofsson. And you see Jeff Skinner doing that, and you say, hey, this guy has been, you know, all-star game. He scores, like, a ton, 40 goals or whatnot. I better be, like, competing, you know, like a son of a gun to be able to stay afloat here. and to know what it's like to be a pro. So that, to me, is the change of culture.
And change of culture is what we're talking about here. Buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. We got to squeeze this in here. We have one today, and it has to do with Tyler Seguin signing his deal, expectations for Jack. We were just talking about Jack and this season, and he's optimistic. He's, you know, listen, these guys are excited to play. So buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports, where you go to Buffalo Sports, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. And the buy-sell trade is pretty easy, boys. Jack Eichel will outscore Tyler Seguin. That's not just goals. That's just overall points. Buy-sell trade.
I will buy. Because Tyler Seguin, the last few years, been 78 points, 72 points, 73 points, 77 points. He is a point a game or just around a point a game type guy. And I really believe that Jack Eichel this season could be more than that. Could be 90-point guy. Could be 92-point guy. There was, what, 20 players that had over 82 points last season or something like that, like a really big number compared to the year before. I think Jack will be in those players that will be 85-plus when it's all said and done. So, yeah, he will outscore in terms of points. So I'm buying that.
I'm buying it, and I think Jack's going to tuck 36 this year, boys.
Yeah, well, that's...
I said 35-55 was my my numbers for Jack.
I'm going to sell this. I'm going to sell this.
Party pooper.
And I'm a party pooper, but until Jack Eichel gets to the level of Taylor Sagan, then you can't put him there. It's the what-ifs and maybes, and he might get there. No, we have to understand that Taylor Sagan is playing with Jamie Benn, one of the most elite left wingers in the National Hockey League that has led a league in scoring already. Alexander Radulov is a very, very solid player in the sense that he's going to be producing points, 60, 70 points a year for sure. And they have the puck mover on the back end, John Klingberg, who is one of the highest point-producing defensemen in the National Hockey League. I think Tyler Seguin is set up for success. So that's the only thing. I think Jack Eichel, in time, is going to surpass the Taylor Seguin, but right now into this coming season, that's putting a lot on Jack to outscore Seguin.
Okay, so I'm doing points per game the last two seasons, okay? Jack Eichel last year was a 0.95 point per game. The year before that, 0.93 point per game.
Yep.
Taylor Seguin last year, 0.95 point per game, same as Jack. The year before that, 0.87 point per game below Jack. So I'm looking at this is that...
Can Jack stay healthy?
Can Jack stay healthy, play 82 games, and get 90 points?
Yes.
I think he can get 90 points if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
And I don't think Taylor Seguin's been healthy, and he's not gotten over 80 points in 5 years. So I think that's where I'm looking at.
Yeah,
and I know your point of... you know, Ben and Radulov and all that. But I also think that this Sabres team is much more improved, and that's going to help Jack. Jack was getting 0.95 points per game with playing with Zemgus Girgensons and
Ben
Pouliot and whatever.
Yeah,
so I'm like, okay,
it.
You get Skinner and Reinhardt, you know, fully.
I think Jack's ceiling is absolutely tremendous. I think Jack can win a scoring title. I am not kidding when I say this. I think he has the abilities. He has everything in his toolbox to be an elite player in this game. My worry right now is just putting too much pressure. Oh my God, is, you know, Jack going to have 90, 95 points this year? I just think that more importantly, points,
I think over the course of this contract that he starts this year, I think Jack, over the course of this contract, Jack will definitely finish in the top five, but I'm going to say even as high as the top three.
Okay.
I believe that. I don't know what year it will be. Hopefully every year. Yeah. That would be outstanding, but I just believe that.
There's just so many good players in the game.
There
nowadays
are so many good players.
It's just,
but come on, Riv. How many times have we watched where I watched Jack out here today and he's competing against his peers, and I know it's not a game, and you watch him in a game sometimes, and when he's playing at that next gear, he's a boy amongst men, but he's physically a man amongst boys when he's the way he dominates. He, in my opinion, I think he could single-handedly take control of a season.
Okay, in order to do that, each and every player that has success in this league is playing with somebody that's elite. Do you understand?
Yeah, like, I do understand.
It's not just a guy doing it by himself. For the last couple seasons, Jack's done a lot of his heavy lifting
himself. He's got an elite guy in the back end now with Darlene.
Well, Darlene's 18, but in 3 years from now, right,
he's playing with Oposo today in practice. Everyone's all about Jack and Sam. Jack and Sam. I like Kyle Oposo with Jack Eichel. He's played with John Tavares. I understand there's different speeds between Jack and Tavares.
Yep.
But there's still elite in my opinion.
Is Oposo just on the right side with Eichel and Skinner because Reinhardt's not here right now?
I don't think so.
Yes.
But here's
you
the thing.
You do think so, Riff?
Yes.
But here's the thing. Does that allow, like, the Sabres? A lot of people yesterday asked me, when do you think Sam will be in camp? And I said, I'm giving it a week. So we're Friday today. By next Friday, Sam will have it all figured out. But that allows to give the Sabres a chance to look at and give somebody else an opportunity to play with Jack. And see, so the first guy that comes to mind is Kyle. Like, Kyle Oposo on my roster is a third-line guy right now.
Do you guys
but
think,
because there's a spot open, see what he can do. What you get.
I got to get this question. Do you think Botts is getting calls on Sam right now because he's not in camp?
No.
I would think, yes, he would. I would think, certainly.
You think he's getting called, like people asking, is he up for trade or?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
He's
what's
an
going
RFA.
On with
they can go and offer him a contract if they want. And so why would you call the Sabres and say, we'd like to have Sam, when you could sign him and put an offer sheet down for him?
How many times that happened?
It doesn't happen.
I'm saying, but why? Like,
how many times that happened?
Well, you have to give up more assets to do that, and it maybe depending on what the salary is, right? Well, what would you get for a guy in the $4 or $5 million range? What's the compensation?
Up,
couple firsts? It's got to be a couple firsts.
Yeah.
They might not have to give that up, actual picks to get rid of him. And I'd like to see this, Marty. We'll talk about this when we come back.
If you sign Sam between $4 and $6 million on the average, it's a first and a third round pick. It's not a lot.
That's not a lot.
So why wouldn't a team not say, hey, we're going to call Sam directly. We're going to give you $5.9 million, so you're just under that $6 million and change threshold, and you're giving that team a first and a third round pick. Or you give them, if you give them $7 or $8 million, it's a first, second, and third round pick. But just
you're not getting that
no,
high.
But just stay under the $6 million, and you give them a first and a third.
All right, when we come back, final segment of the Instigators for this week. We're back on Tuesday. We've got a busy week next week. I think Darren Dreger's back with the show next week, if I'm not mistaken.
He's stirring some big pots over in Toronto right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he said that the word around is that Nylander wants $8.5 million, and that is
No wonder why Sam is holding out. If Nylander gets $8.5 million,
what is he worth?
We'll be right back. We'll answer that question when we return. Josh Allen, big start on Sunday at home here, Bills home opener. Nope. WGR 550 and MSG, the Instigators.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, before we get out of here for the weekend, we're going to give you the Group B lines. Anybody want to take control here? I don't need to dominate this one. Marty, go ahead.
Okay. Connor Sheary with Casey Milstead and Jason Pominville. CJ Smith with Sabaka and Tage Thompson playing the right side. A-Rod, Evan Rodriguez, E-Rod, I should say, Asplund and Baptiste, Gergensons, Malone, and O'Regan are your forwards right now. On D, Beaulieu with Bogosian. We talked about who was going to play with Bogosian. Was it going to be Gouley? They've got Beaulieu up there. That pair was really good in training camp last year, so I think that they want to see if they can build off of that. Gouley with Casey Nelson, they were a really strong pair in Rochester and with the Sabres last season when they played together.
I think at some point they'll be a strong pair in Rochester again this year.
Probably. Hickey with Tennyson and Kevin Porter playing defense in the place of injured Matt Hunwick, and he's paired up with Will Borgen. So that is your lines. They are brought to you by the Instigators.
He skipped right over my comment. I wanted to see if he'd bite on it, Riv.
Oh.
What'd you think
this
about that,
Marty? This is the Sabres training camp. Okay. I'm not talking about Rochester. Casey Nelson could easily be a depth player on this roster, maybe a seventh or eighth defenseman. Gouley could be in the top six. Listen, you know what that tells me?
I think the most
me?
Intriguing
you know
D pair there is Kevin Porter and Will Borgen.
Yeah. You know what this tells me, Petey? and that Beaulieu and Bogosian are going to be put together, they will be challenged by Gouley and Nelson. And let's see how they respond. Let's see if Gouley and Nelson can elevate. Let's see if Beaulieu and Bogosian can elevate even more.
All right. There's a challenge going on Sunday, and the Chargers are in town. Josh Allen starting his first regular season NFL game. Quickly, boys. I'm excited for this one. I'm excited to see the kid play. We got to get out of here.
Listen, no hockey for me this weekend. Both boys are off. No field hockey for my daughter. I mean, it is about putting the feet up. I cannot wait to watch this game. Listen, I just look for the Bills to get a little bit stronger, and we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens.
Go Bills.
We're back on Tuesday. One Bills Live is next here. WGR 550 and MSG.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.